to Doing the Least with Cynthia
and Christy.
Awesome. Well, welcome back, everybody. Happy New Year. And 2024, I mean, we took a little break, but we're back, baby.
I like that. Yeah, we are back. And yeah, it was a nice little break that we had. January's one of those months that goes on and on for like weeks and weeks. I always love the January memes, but I don't know, this one seemed to fly by. And we have some new stuff for you in February, so I hope you're ready to listen.
That's right. And overall, I guess we want to start out the year with a little bit of more of deep introductions of who we are and how we have gotten to the places that we have been. And I think a topic that is really important is diversity in different careers. We are people that tend to be underrepresented in certain careers, whether it be healthcare or law. And well, at least I want to speak out just telling our story and who we are and how we've gotten to the point that we have.
Yeah. I know we've talked a little bit about it before, and then we've dived into just like other random topics, but I think this will be a fun kind of way to maybe just, if you've ever been interested in learning more about our specific careers that we do. As you all know who have been listening, I'm a lawyer and Cynthia is a nurse. And we've kind of just been doing this for several years now. And we talk about it a little bit here and there, but just in case you were wondering a little bit more about what it takes to be a lawyer or what it means just on a day-to-day basis, or if you're interested in getting into the legal field in general, I thought maybe I could start off by sharing my story and hopefully answering some questions or if anything, like sparking some interest in a few people. And then, you know, at another time we can dive in and ask Cynthia some questions as well about nursing. Yeah.
So today I will be interviewing Christy here about her journey to becoming an attorney. So I guess starting out with our interview, you know, thank you so much for being here, Christy, as the interviewee.
Thank you for having me.
So I think it's amazing that you pursued law. You know, I think it's very, you know, it sounds intimidating to me as someone who isn't in that field. And I know there's a lot of people with curiosity, like, how did you do that? You know, what, you know, sparked that interest? So we do have a few questions that everybody has sent in. And, you know, we're going to just dive right in. Okay. So my first question for you is, what inspired you to pursue a career in law?
Well, that's a good question. I feel like that kind of came in stages, or maybe it happened multiple times at different stages in my life. The first time I even considered pursuing law was when I was still in undergrad. I was a history major, had no idea what I wanted to do with my life when I was in college. All I knew was that I needed to get to college and I needed to get my BA, and whatever I majored in didn't really matter. Like, I could always figure it out later. Like, that was my mindset during undergrad. So what did I do? I kind of just majored in the things that I liked and found interesting. So I did history and then also like Italian language and culture and literature and all that stuff. And then once I was down to like my last year, I was like, what the hell am I going to do? I stressed out so much. And I did have like a professor that served like a mentor to me, and you know, I'm still in touch with him. He's written my letters of recommendation for various things I've applied for, including law school. But I was his research assistant in college, and he's the one that kind of put the idea in my head. And when he did that, like, it scared me. Like, I remember thinking, like, no, I can't be a lawyer. I don't know if that's what I want to do. Like, that doesn't seem like my personality. Like, it didn't seem like something that I would be good at or even would enjoy. But then it, at the same time, it made me feel like, well, can I though? Like, can I do that? So I went on to graduate from college and looked for jobs and ended up finding like random stuff. But when I was in doing those random jobs, like, it never felt like career positions, like nothing that I could pursue for a long term. And it was during that time, like during my first year maybe of like working, that I realized like maybe I should try to like steer myself in the legal field and see if I like it. So I would apply to jobs like legal assistant, paralegal, even receptionist at law firms. Like, I was applying for anything and I couldn't get like my foot in the door. Like, I wasn't getting callbacks, I wasn't getting interviews or anything. So at that point, I think it's when I decided, like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to just start off like working in a support role, but in the legal field. And if I like it, then I'll decide to go to law school. And that's kind of what I want to call like stage one. Stage two is like, once I already did kind of start working in the legal field, I did enjoy it. And then I saw kind of like what the attorneys at the firms were doing. And I just had that moment where I was like, oh, I can do that. Like, I can definitely do that.
And so how did you get your foot in the door?
Well, I really went about it like, I feel like I took a lot of extra steps, more so than a lot of people need to do or even have done. So I couldn't get interviews, like I said. So I decided to enroll into a paralegal training program, which if you apply to a lot of jobs at law firms for paralegal positions, a lot of the times the requirements are either several years experience as a paralegal or having completed a paralegal training program. So I went that route. I did it through UCLA Extension. Most community colleges or other universities will have such a program. And I think it takes about a year on average. I did an accelerated program, so I think I did it in 6 months. But at that time, I was able to, whatever job that I had at the time, I was able to kind of talk to my boss and tell them, hey, I'm going to go back to school. Like, I'm going to be in school Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon for 6 months. And I just want to work part time. Like, is that cool? And I did. Like, they were okay with it, surprisingly. So I did that. I worked part time. And then I was like doing this paralegal program. Once I finished that program, for other reasons outside of like work and stuff, like just for personal reasons, I decided that I needed to move to Connecticut, because I, you know, I moved to the East Coast with my sister. I was 25. And that's why I like didn't ever kind of apply for jobs before I moved there, because it was just like a short window. So until I moved to Connecticut, that's when I got my first job as a paralegal.
That's wonderful. I mean, you mentioned your sister. Did you have any other support in your life that provided you, you know, that guidance during these steps or your goals?
I think that there were people that definitely supported this for me, like definitely my sister, definitely my family, like everybody knew that I was doing this program, my friends, like they all knew that I was pursuing a career like a legal career. I didn't really know anybody in the legal field. I think maybe a few, I could literally name maybe a couple people that I knew were either working as paralegals or maybe like one other person that was like in law school. So maybe I had like distant connections to be able to like reach out. But nobody in my family had ever pursued a career in like law. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can say honestly that my friends and family were supportive, but I don't think anybody could really offer me the kind of specific guidance and support that I needed to like succeed in the field.
Yeah, that seems like a big leap, a big brave leap. So how many years or how long did you spend as a paralegal, or how did the process of applying to law school be like bloom from that?
Oh my God. It kind of feels a little bit like a blur, but not really at the same time. So I moved to Connecticut. I got my first job at a personal injury law firm out there. And mind you, it took me months to get the job. I like was working at a furniture store before that. Like I like literally needed just money. But I just got a job like working retail, and I was still applying like all the time. I interviewed a few times, didn't get the job. And then I finally got this job, and I don't know, like it felt really like a good fit, like right away. I didn't know everything, obviously. Like I did do this program, but it only teaches you so much. And I think I was just really interested in learning. And then I realized that like, oh, this is what it's like. Every day is like you're learning something new. It's never gonna be like you just know everything. I think maybe after a year, because I started working there in like 2014, and I know I took the LSAT in 2015. So I want to say like probably within a year, I was like, okay, I like this. I think I'm good at it. I see what the attorneys in my office are doing, and I can definitely do it. And I think it's time for me to just go for it. So I did, once I got my foot in the door, I did talk to like my boss, and I talked to his partner, which is his brother. And I remember sitting in their office and like asking them like, hey, you know, I'm really interested in going to law school. Like, can you tell me a little bit about that? Like, what was it like for you? How did you do it? Like, do you have any advice for me? All those things. And they were very like encouraging, which was really nice. And even the other attorneys in the office, I would ask them, like, how was, you know, applying to law school for you? How was your law school experience? And just really getting, like, information from them. And they were encouraging. I reached out to a few people that I had known from college who also, like, gave me their insights. And I will be honest with you, like, no one told me like, oh, this is like super easy, you're gonna love it, like do it. Like that was never the response. So were they encouraging and telling me that I could do it? Yeah. But then they also were like cautioning as to like what it's gonna entail, and I better make sure that I do really wanna do this because it's gonna get hard.
Yeah, like let's be real, it's not easy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think that sounds really encouraging that you used your resources where you were, you used your environment, you asked that question. Sometimes I feel like a lot of us are too scared to ask, but I think people are most of the time willing to help. They are not gatekeepers, you know, like I think it's important that they encourage the younger generations to pursue, because like what's going to happen when they retire, right? You need good lawyers out there. So I'm really glad that you did that, and you were brave. You weren't, you know, scared to ask. So it's important to ask around, you know. So as far as your experience in law school, could you tell me a little bit about your experience getting in, you know, the excitement of applying and, you know, the acceptance, and just like establishing yourself as a law student? Do you remember? Can you let us know a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, definitely. I think, oh my God, it's so much. So I was working, right, as a paralegal at a very busy firm, mind you. Like, when I was there, I enjoyed it, but I was also really stressed out, and I feel like I had a really large caseload. Like, even when I talk about it now, I'm like, I don't know how I was, like, managing such a large caseload and all the work that I was doing. And I was also working a second job, like that retail job I mentioned earlier. Like, I kept it even though I was working at a law firm. So I was working, I don't know, maybe on average 50 to 55 hours a week, and then still finding time to study for the LSAT on my own. So at that point, wow. I had already been out of school for, like, I don't know, 4+ years. So that's a muscle you kind of have to retrain, like studying and practicing. And the LSAT isn't really something that you have to, like, study for. It's more something you have to practice, because timing is a thing. Like, you just have to be able to go through the test, like, really quickly, the questions really quickly. And it's all logic. So there's, like, specific little tricks and things that you can learn to kind of go through those questions quickly. I want to kind of add two things. So, like, earlier when I was talking about all the attorneys I was, like, asking questions about, one of the things that they told me was definitely try to enroll into an LSAT prep program if you can. And the thing is, that's not as easy for everybody. Like, I literally ended up having to start a GoFundMe at that time because I didn't have enough money to afford the LSAT prep program. Most people don't. A lot of people don't. Unless you're, you know, coming from a wealthy family who's going to pay for it, or you yourself, like, have been able to save money for that, then, like, it's just going to be really difficult. But those people are always going to have an advantage over you. From what I know now, there's a lot of affordable resources that you can find. I don't have the specific names for these things, but I know that there are things you can find online, programs that you can enroll. There's a guy on YouTube, I think, that you can just probably, like, subscribe to him. I don't know his charges, but, like, I went through Kaplan, and that was, like, what I knew at the time. And so I did that, and I found it to be helpful. But when I finally did take the LSAT, I got my score, and it wasn't, like, really what I was hoping for, or aiming for, even, or did I think it was even going to be competitive at all. It was a little less than what I had been averaging on, like, my practice tests, and unfortunately, I don't feel comfortable sharing what that LSAT score was, but I will say it is below what the average is for, like, a lot of people, like, applying to law schools. Or for, like, if you go to, like, a law school's website and you can look at the class profile for, like, the 1L course or class, it'll tell you what the average LSAT score was, like, the 25th percentile, like, the 50th percentile, 75th percentile. And, like, I'll just say it was, like, below that stuff. So,
that's fine, because look what you are, where you are now. Like, that, does that matter? Yeah. Like, I think that just helped you become the attorney you are now.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say it was a gamble. So what I ended up doing was I took the LSAT in 2015. I knew I could do better, so I decided I was going to take it again. Now, what I learned during my Kaplan course is that you can take the LSAT more than once, but you really shouldn't take it more than 3 times. I think maybe they say you shouldn't even take it 3 times. Like, maybe take it once more. And if you're going to take it again, you better make sure that your score improves, because, like, and it improves a lot, right? Because if you take it again and you just went up, like, a point or something, like, that's fine. But, you know, then don't take it again after that, right? Like, just, that's your score at this point. And I forget how long the LSAT scores are active. I want to say it's like 7 years, maybe five. I don't know. And then you can take it again. So anyway, I did take it again. I took it again in 2016, like almost exactly a year later. I thought maybe I was going to be dedicating more time to studying for it and prepping for it. But like I said, I was working two jobs. I was tired. I didn't really make a routine out of it. I did study more, but maybe not that much more. And at the end of the day, I think I improved my score the second time around, maybe by like 3 or 4 points. So I felt better at that point. And I was like, okay, it is what it is. I'm just going to apply with what I have. Because luckily for me, my undergrad GPA was actually higher than the average GPA for the class profiles that I was just mentioning. So, you know, maybe people were scoring like a 150 with a 3.2 GPA. And those are the people that the law schools that I was looking at were admitting. But like I had maybe a lower LSAT score, but like a higher GPA than that. So I figured, you know, and I have work experience. So I figured like, I'm going to just apply and see what happens.
So in order to apply, you need to have like the whole package. You should have some, you know, work experience. Your scores should be at a certain minimum level, mm-hmm. as well as your GPA from your prerequisites.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like for the LSAT, the highest score is a 180. So like if you're scoring 170 up, then you're going to like Harvard or you're going to like Yale.
That's a you good, know, like you're cool. Because I had no idea. I'm just like, I don't know what that means. So, oh, okay. So it's like 170 and up is like Ivy League status.
Yeah. Like you're going to go to the top law schools in the country. If you're getting like a 160 up, like in the 160s, then you have a really competitive LSAT score and you could probably even apply to those law schools if you want to. And maybe you'll get in, maybe you won't. Or you can apply to maybe more mid-tier and like most likely get in. Or, you know, maybe you could apply to your local law school and then get scholarships or something. And then I would say like 150 up, like 150s. Then, I mean, like if you're in the lower 150s, like I think that's kind of like what today's average is for a lot of like mid to lower tier like law schools, and maybe not getting scholarships, or maybe still getting scholarships. Who knows? I think it just all depends on what your entire package looks like. But right. I would say 150s is still... it's still good. It's still competitive, depending on like what your GPA was and like what other things you kind of bring to the table. And yeah, I mean, I've seen some schools, I don't really know if they accept people in like 140s, but maybe they do.
Sure.
So I think that's kind of like once you're in that realm, that's kind of like law schools question whether you're going to be able to pass the bar. Because if you're scoring below a 150 on the LSAT, then they kind of think that you don't test well and you're not going to pass the bar. And unfortunately, that's kind of what law schools look for, is they want students that are going to pass the bar because then it makes their rankings go up. When I applied to the law schools, I decided I was only going to apply to like a handful of them, and I chose kind of like a mixed bag. Like I knew I wasn't going to be getting into like the Harvards or the Yales, but I said fuck it, I'm going to apply anyway. I think I applied to maybe one or two schools that were like a long stretch, like I wasn't going to get in, but who knows. And then I applied to a few other schools that I felt were like competitive, but definitely not like top 10. And then I chose two or three other programs. And mind you, I was living in Connecticut when I applied, but I was also thinking I wanted to get back to like California or also maybe anywhere. So I applied to schools back in California, and I applied to like a school locally in Connecticut, where I figured like if I get in, I'll work full-time and then I'll go to law school part-time. I ended up getting into that program. I got rejected from the schools I knew I was going to get rejected from. I got waitlisted on one school in LA that I really wanted to go to. And I, mind you, I was applying to part-time programs when they were available. And the reason being was because I was a little older than like your typical law student, which is like, I don't know, ages like 22, 23 to like late 20s. I was already going to be like 30, I think, when I was going to start. So I wanted to work and support myself through that. So I applied to part-time programs. And then I ended up getting accepted into Santa Clara, which is in California. And it was their part-time program, and I was so excited about it. Like, I was thinking I was going to end up staying in Connecticut and, like, commit to another 4+ years of my life there. And when the California school accepted me, I was like, oh, my God, I can finally make my way back to California. And it was just a very exciting moment, and I was very emotional about it, but I was also really nervous. I ended up deferring my enrollment for another year after that because it just kind of all happened so fast. And even though I applied for schools for that year, like it just happened too quickly for me to move across the country. So I deferred for another year and I started in 2018.
No, I think that's fair that, you know, sometimes you just need to reorganize whatever you have going on and really focus. Okay, like this is my road to what I'm going to be accomplishing. The next part of the questions is you're there, you make the move across the country. Did you have family in Northern California? Did you, like, what was your experience like starting school again?
Was a lot. I mean, I ended up like obviously spending the next few like months saving and like figuring out how I was gonna get myself and my stuff back across the country. I landed back like in my parents' house, which is in LA, not in Santa Clara. And so I was able to kind of like drop some stuff off there, pack up my car again with just the essentials, drive myself back up north. And I didn't have any family out there, but I did have friends because it's really close to where I went for undergrad. So obviously I had you nearby. Yeah, I had other friends. And the thing is, after having lived in the East Coast for 5 years and then kind of being in Northern California and not in my hometown, it never felt like I wasn't home. Like, it always felt like it immediately felt like I was home. Like, this is California. Like, this is where I'm from. And so it was really nice and comforting. I never felt like too alone. I found a job pretty quickly. I was applying to jobs kind of like in that little few week window that I was like transitioning back to California life. Like, I applied to jobs. I interviewed like the day after I landed. I started like 2 days later. So yeah, I was working full time and started school in the evenings. And I made friends in my classes. I mean, I wouldn't really say I made friends. Like, I want to say the first semester is really weird. Maybe even the first year is really weird. I do have friends that I've stayed in touch with since from law school, but at that time in my life, I don't know how secure I felt in those friendships. I think that became clear to me over time.
Right. So I think it's important to kind of, I guess, think about that, like, these are the people that you're going through, like, similar things with. And they can be acquaintances. They could be team members, potential coworkers. Or, you know, long lasting friends. And those are few once we get to a certain age. So what would you say as far as both academics and personal relationships, or just the whole dynamics of law school, what would you say would be like challenges and highlights of your time in law school? Because it was 3 years.
So law school is 3 years, but because I did it part-time, it was 4 years for me. I could have probably done it in 3.5 years or so, but I really just kind of, whatever, I did my thing in 4 years. Challenges, I would say, just like with other people, like you mentioned, these are people, like, you have to consider these people as your colleagues. So it's kind of like, these are potential like coworkers that you might have, potential like opposing counsel you might have to deal with, maybe people that like you might want to keep around in case they get a really good job and then you want to maybe like see if they'll refer you to something or, you know, like connect you somehow. So you want to keep things cordial and professional. But at the same time, it's so competitive. And these are one of the things that, like, I always anticipated but, like, didn't want to go through. But I knew it was probably inevitable. It's just, like, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not really competitive. I'm self-motivated. Like, I want to do well. Like, I'm going to do my best and try to, like, you know, get good grades and all that. But like, I don't really care about getting the best grade in the class or doing better than this person or this person. But the way law school, especially your first year, is kind of designed, it's graded on a curve. So the competitive nature just exists because of the way law school grades. So the curve means that a certain percentage, I don't really remember the percentages, but let's say like only 5% of the class is going to be able to get an A, and then, or an A plus. Only 10% of the class is going to get like an A minus and above. Only, you know, the next 10% is going to get B's, or, you know, I don't really remember. So like, it could be a matter of like 1 point that'll take you from being a B student to like a C student. So what I remember is a lot of study groups kind of join, forming, and then you want to like get into the right study group, or maybe you never even thought of yourself as a study group person, but now you're thinking that you're supposed to. You have like people that you think might be really smart just because they participate a lot in class or they say really smart things in class. And you're like, oh, they're probably going to do really well. But honestly, there's no way of telling how well someone's going to do in a class because your entire grade depends on that one final exam at the end of the semester. So it like doesn't even matter how much you participate in class sometimes, because if you do really bad on your final, then you're going to have a bad grade. So I remember like being friends with people every day, like in class, and then talking after class and going over like, this is what I've been studying. What have you been doing? And then as soon as finals comes around, class ends, they're like head down, walking in a different direction. Like nobody wants to share their outlines, no one wants to share their notes. Like they want to just talk to the people they think have the ability to do well and kind of cling on to those people. And so I kind of saw a little bit of that shadiness.
Wow.
Yeah, it was not fun.
Mm-hmm.
So my first year was a lot of just trying to figure it out. Like, I didn't even know how to do a law school exam. Like, there's a very specific way you're supposed to kind of answer these questions or write these essays and study for them. And I never knew how to do that. I never understood it. I think it took me my entire first year to figure it out. And because of that, my grades weren't the best my first year, specifically my first semester. But don't worry, I did better. I got better over the semesters.
Wow. So how did that make you feel, or like feeling like that perhaps you weren't going to make it?
Yeah, I mean, there's this whole thing about being academically disqualified. I think the bottom 10% of a class gets just kicked out pretty much like at the end of the year. Most schools do that. I don't know if they still do that. So my first semester, like, I'll just be honest, like, I did get C's in law school, and I got C's my first semester. And most people that are in law school never got a C in their life, right? I mean, they're probably all did really well, got good grades their whole lives. And law school kind of puts you in a situation where, like, you might gonna get a C, and you're gonna have to deal with that. So I was dealing with that. Like, it felt like I got punched in the stomach kind of thing. And then I kept hearing, like, once the curve is set, it's really hard to get out of it. So, like, just be happy right where you are. And I'm over here thinking, like, I'm on the C part of the curve. Like, how am I going to get out of this? But I don't know. I think I just, like, got better about studying. I learned kind of, like, okay, I wasted too much time doing this last time. I don't need to be doing that anymore. Like, kind of learning from your mistakes. And then, I don't know, it got to a point where I, like, was obsessed with the process. And, like, I kind of got better about outlining and studying. And my grades in general, like, got better over the years.
Yeah. Congratulations that you found your... your way of, like, handling law school and and your with your school's tests and classes. Do you have any, like, specific highlights about law school? I know it's like it's so hard and difficult, you know, but also, like, was there anything good that you remember that, you know, kept your motivation going?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, one of the reasons why I really wanted to go to law school at that point, like, I had already decided this is what I wanted to do, obviously, was because I really wanted to, like, help people. And so I knew that being part of a part-time program and working full-time meant that I wasn't going to be doing a lot of, like, internships or, like, clerkships, like most people kind of get to do when they're in law school, or, like, at least strive to do while they're in law school. But I was able to participate in a clinic, which is, like, not an internship. It's kind of treated like a class, but you're getting, like, real life experience, or you're kind of, like, working as a, like, pseudo attorney kind of thing. Like, and I did that for it was called a workers' rights clinic, because at that time I kind of really thought I wanted to do, like, labor law and employment law. And it was actually during COVID that I did that. It was the summer of 2020 that I participated in that clinic. And it was just really, I don't want to say it was fun, but it was kind of like an exciting thing to be a part of, because at that time there were so many labor and employment issues coming up. People had lost their jobs. People were working remotely for the first time in their fields. People lost the ability to have, like, daycare for their children, and maybe didn't have the opportunity to work hybrid or remotely and didn't know what to do. So they had to, like, sacrifice their jobs so that they could take care of their kids. Unemployment, obviously, there was all these different laws that kind of came into place to assist with the fact that there were so many people that weren't working. To me, that was a really big learning experience, and it was nice to be able to be part of that.
And so you mentioned that you were interested in employment law. Ultimately, what kind of, I guess if you don't mind sharing, what kind of law have you grown to like a lot more, or be more knowledgeable, or you feel most comfortable, or that you're working in?
So since the beginning, since that first job in Connecticut, like, even till now, I've been working in personal injury. So what that means is that I represent injured clients, people who have been injured in slip and fall incidents or motor vehicle accidents. Sometimes, like, it's different from like work-related injuries, which is covered under like workers' compensation. But sometimes you could be injured on the job, and it's a third party could be liable for that injury. So, you know, sometimes I'll represent those types of cases, products liability, and yeah, I mean, there's more, but that's just kind of like the majority of it.
And I think I feel like I skipped a bit. So you had your experience in law school, you know, were struggling in the beginning, but you bloomed and you finished law school. Mm-hmm. And I know we skipped over to what current law you're practicing. Mm-hmm. However, there's a big portion after law school that comes to allow you to practice, right? Would you like to talk about that? It reminds me of a chocolate bar, but...
Yeah. Yeah, it's the bar exam. I know. I mean, you could go to law school, get your JD, and then never take the bar exam. You won't be able to call yourself an attorney, but you can still call yourself a lawyer. There's a lot of things you can do practicing law that doesn't involve having to appear in court. For example, you could review contracts. There's a lot. You could be like in-house counsel or like be an advisor, stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. But if you want to practice in court and you want to like file lawsuits and stuff, then you have to take the bar, the state bar. I took the California state bar, which is considered to be one of the most difficult in the country. I think New York is like the worst. There might be a few others. I think California used to be number two. I want to say it's number four now, but I'm not sure. It changes all the time. It's a two-day exam. You have to study a lot. I've known since my first year in law school that when you study for the bar, you need to take, like, you can't work. Like, I knew I was going to have to, like, either quit my job or take a leave of absence or something. So I took 2 months off to study for work. I started saving money for this unemployment period since I was in my first year of law school. So I had enough to kind of support myself during that time. You have to pay for a bar prep program, which is also very expensive. I think mine cost me over $2,000. And you might be able to get it cheaper depending if you find like promo periods and stuff. But most of the time it's around there. So it costs a lot. It costs a lot of money. Not to mention the bar exam itself probably cost me almost $1,000 just to register. I want to say it was like $850. And then you also have to take what's called a moral character and fitness, not a test, but it's a application you have to submit to the state bar. It's a very extensive background check on you. And that costs like $500 just to submit. And it's a grueling process. Like, you have to almost like list all of your employers, like ever, every address you've ever lived in, like your driving history, like so much, all educational history, of course. Like, you have to basically fill in every year of your life for the past like 8 or 10 years, and if there's any gaps, you have to explain what the gap is about. And then you also have to take the professional, I already forget what it's called. It's like the rules of professional conduct and professional responsibility for attorneys. It's a separate exam that you have to take at some point before you take the bar exam. So these are all things you have to do before the bar while you're in law school. So yeah, I think I took that professional responsibility exam maybe like earlier of 2022, and then I took the bar in July of 2022. Took 2 months to study for it, and you're like stressed out the whole time because you're like, I have to pass this bar because if not, then I am going to have to take another 2 months off to study again for another time and then pay again for this exam, which is really expensive. And like, it's also time that you're not working as an attorney and not making that kind of money that you were hoping to make at a law school. So it just feels like there's so much on the line financially mostly. But you know what? I know people that didn't pass on the first time and they didn't let that, you know, get them down. They still studied and took it a second time and passed it the second time, didn't lose the job opportunities that they had in front of them. So it's not the end of the world. The main thing you have to do is, no matter how stressful it can seem and how much pressure you're putting on yourself to pass it, you can't let it get to you. I think that's the key. Like, you have to just chill about it. You do. Like, wow. Crazy amount of stress, but like, don't worry, be chill, it's cool, like, don't worry.
Like, we all go through this, it's okay.
Yeah.
No, I think that's excellent advice. I think I remember kind of asking you about it and like, mm-hmm. you're just like, I don't want to talk about it, nobody asked me, like, let's just ignore, because I can only imagine how stressful it is just like wanting those results, like, did I do it, did I pass, all this hard work, it's on the line, it's building up, it's like the Super Bowl for your final exam, like your final credentialing, you know, licensing.
It's so crazy, especially because they do make you wait so long for your results. Like, I took the bar in July and I didn't find out whether or not I passed until November.
Wow.
So you're literally waiting for like 3.5 months.
That's just terrible.
Knowing that your life is in someone else's hands and you're just not going to know about it until later. And I remember people would ask me about it and I would stress out. I would be like, please don't ask me.
Yeah.
Or I would get annoyed. And it's not like anything against them or anything like that. It's just like, I have nothing to say. Like, I don't like to talk about things where I don't really have anything to say, you know?
Right. Or like, you don't really have control over it, right?
Right. So. Exactly. And it just, like, it was very triggering for me. And I know that on the day, because everyone gets the results at the same time on the same day. And I just remember that day I worked and I didn't bring it up to anybody at work because I like literally felt nauseous the whole time. Like, I thought I was gonna throw up and cry at any moment. And I don't know, somehow I survived the day without talking about it. And wow. I just like went home and checked my results that night.
And so you found out, and what did you do? Did you celebrate big? What was the feeling you had?
I didn't believe it at first. Like, I remember having to reload the page like several times, and it just kept saying passed. And I was like, oh my God, is that real? And there's like a letter attached. I downloaded it, saved it. And I was like, they can't take it back now. I have the letter on my computer. Like, it's real. I remember calling my family. I remember going out to dinner that night with my boyfriend. We're celebrating. He kept telling everybody, like, hey, she's a lawyer.
That's cool. That's so cool. I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you. It's a lot of work, and you've done it, and you continue to do it. Are there any tips to, like, balance your personal life and your work life? Or, like, how has your perspective on, like, I'm an attorney. Like, how has that changed? Has it changed?
Sometimes I don't know that I'm an attorney, or like, I don't feel like it. Cause I'm like, I'll be presented with a problem at work and I'm like, yeah, this is a question for one of the attorneys. Like, in my head. Right.
Like, this why is am I given things. This? Like, what? Are
yeah.
You
like, this is definitely something I got to talk about with the attorneys. And then I'm like, oh wait, that's me. But as far as like advice for balancing, I don't know, personal and professional, whatever, work-life balance, I might not be the best person to answer that question at the moment because I feel like I'm working a lot. During law school, I was really good at it. I was like on top of it. Like, remember, I was working full time and going to school. And I was also still like really on top of like, I was working out a lot. Like I had a whole routine for that. And I was really good about incorporating like personal time. So scheduling worked for me, writing shit down, like scheduling in your socializing time and your me time and downtime, gym time, all that stuff, scheduling it in. And then being really true to that schedule. Like I knew that if I wanted to have fun Saturday night, then I better do my homework at 6 a.m. And then I would have hard stops for myself. Now that I'm working, I kind of try to implement the hard stop on my work day. It works out for me sometimes. Other times it gets stretched out a little bit. But I do still kind of have a hard stop where I don't really like to work too late and I need to be home at a certain hour. I tell people at work, like, I'm sorry, I have to go home. I turn into a pumpkin. Like, I can't. So, you know, yeah. And I do really believe that. I kind of feel like, I do feel that you need rest and you need to be able to focus on yourself and the things that you need to do for yourself, because you're not going to be efficient in the workplace if you're not taking care of that. So I don't care if you stay at work until like 10 or 11, like that's not going to mean anything if you yourself are not well rested and not like doing what you need to do for yourself. So, I mean, and the thing is, it's needed sometimes too. Like, I'm sorry, I think it's going to happen where you're going to need to work longer hours on certain occasions, and that's fine, but it doesn't need to be every day.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I feel like there's times where it's like, all right, I'm going to call it a day. My brain is completely burned out. And it's like, you don't want to be making mistakes, right? So, you know, setting those limits to yourself and having that time for yourself to enjoy and not think about the responsibilities and, you know, reality of how hard the work and like client experience, all that as an attorney is. And so like, that's why I feel like I hope that this podcast isn't too draining or stressful for both of us. And I think it's, you know, it's good to kind of vent out. And I thought that this would be a good topic because I think it's important. There are people who have questions who maybe are like, you know what, I want to do something else with my life. And I guess we'll go into some other episode about me, but I too was also like in my late 20s starting out. But it's like I never had, they would say it's like a second career because of our age, but I never had a first career. I was just building up to it, right?
Yeah.
So I really thank you, Christy, for being vulnerable and sharing, you know, certain moments of your law school attorney journey and experience, because I think we all need to hear that, and we need to hear these stories from our role models, that it wasn't the easiest, you know, handed down tips from our parents, because it wasn't that, you know, you had to figure it out on your own. And I think you should be very proud, but also we should be able to be a resource to others that just have no clue how to go about things.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And thank you so much for asking your very good questions and allowing me to share. I hope that, you know, if anyone that was listening was interested in what I was saying and they have more questions, that they feel comfortable enough to reach out to me. I do like talking about this stuff and I'm happy to talk about it and encourage people who are thinking about pursuing this along the way, because I know I dealt with a lot of people that weren't super encouraging, meaning like they either didn't like what they did and felt like nobody should pursue it, or maybe they were just like more expressive of the negative aspects of the job than the positive. So I just want people to know that there's going to be good and bad in any career you choose, but that shouldn't be, you know, a reason why you shouldn't pursue it. but just have a clear idea of why it is that you do want to pursue it, and that'll always guide you and push you forward.
Well said. I think the why is always an important factor to doing something.
Yes.
All right, everyone.
Write that shit down.
I know I have a notebook that I'm starting to write all my ideas on.
Yeah.
So as a reminder, make sure to like, share, subscribe to our podcast and our podcast episodes. Especially as Christy said, if you're interested in law or you're considering law school, this is an excellent episode to, you know, get your foot in or your ear into the subject. You know, it has wonderful highlights and experiences from our dear co-host Christy, attorney at law, Esquire, JD. and I just want to thank everybody for listening. Any last words, Christy?
No, that's all. Just thank you for letting me share, and thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. And thank you
for... Thanks for listening.
Doing the least.
Doing the least.
Thanks for doing the least.
Thanks for doing the least, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Catch you next time. Bye.